What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. A busy show here today. We're going to talk a lot about fantasy baseball. We're going to scan the fantasy baseball waiver wire, take a look at two starts. We're going to take a look at some of the top added players in fantasy baseball, Yahoo, ESPN, high stakes leagues. We'll dig deep for you out there, those that are playing in deep season long leagues. We're going to take a look at the most added and dropped players with my guy, Matt Williams of The Athletic. You can catch all of his work over at The Athletic, also the host of Turn to a Podcast. So Matt's going to jump in a little bit. Next segment, we'll dive through some of the fantasy baseball waiver wire pickups. We'll also take a look at today's slate in Major League Baseball, semi-light night around the diamond. We'll talk about, you know, some of our favorite picks and some of our favorite props. I know Maddie is giving some picks as well on social media, and I'm catching him, I'm following, and he's doing fairly well out there as well. So it's Matt Williams on the Twitter machine. Instead of the L's, it's the 77. So he's going to stop by in a few minutes. Only one game on the ice today. What the heck are we going to talk about here after baseball? What? Come on. The Blackhawks and the Flyers? What are we doing here with this NHL schedule? This is the last few days of the regular season. We will, of course, talk Chicago and Philadelphia. And, of course, I got a couple props for you. Some shot props, a goal prop. We'll attack the game. I do think we'll see some offense in the game. It's a 6.5 total between the Flyers and the Blackhawks. But I got a couple things here. There's been a couple players from Chicago that has caught my eye recently. You know, John Taves has been pretty good lately. Jonathan Taves, Captain Taves, he's had a rough year. The Blackhawks have had a rough season. I thought that they'd be a little bit better this year. I really did. I know that they overpaid a little bit on Seth Jones, and, you know, they brought in Marc-Andre Fleury, and Taves didn't play last year, and he's back, and they still have DeBrincat and Kane, you know, some offensive firepower, but still a lot of holes in the Chicago team. I thought that they would flirt with a playoff spot, that they would hang around, but they've been eliminated for quite some time now. But I have noticed Tyler Johnson in the lineup from a DFS standpoint. I have been playing Taves and Kubalik and Tyler Johnson. They've been fairly cheap, and they've been pretty productive for me. I know Taves has got 4 points in his last four games, six in his last eight. And also, Tyler Johnson's got a couple goals in his last four. So we'll talk about those two players a little bit from a larger standpoint. But spoiler alert, I'm kind of on them tonight. I think it's a pretty good spot against the Philadelphia Flyers, and you get pretty good odds for those guys to hit the score sheet. So we'll dive into that, maybe take a look at the Stanley Cup odds. Vegas looks like they're done. What a rough loss last night for the Golden Knights. Up 4-2 against the Sharks. San Jose coming off the second half of a back-to-back. Vegas is in their own barn. Everything on the line for them. Thought they played nearly a perfect game. Thompson was pretty strong in between the pipes. They're up 4-2 with 2 minutes left. All of a sudden, it's 4-3, and then Timo Meier scores with 0.9 seconds left. 0.9 seconds left. Shot off the backboards just perfectly to Timo Meier, tapped it in, and then they lost in a shootout. And I'll get to the shootout in a little bit. But the overtime, they had 4-on-3 in overtime with the skill and the firepower that the Golden Knights have with Jack Eichel and Mark Stone and Shea Theodore and Max Pacioretty. They couldn't find a way to score in overtime, and then they start their shootout with Nicholas Roy. What are you doing? Like, I know he was 3-for-4 in the season, but that's how you want to go down. With the season on the line, the second shooter was Eichel, the third shooter was Shea Theodore, and I'm fine with those two guys. But really, Nicholas Roy, that's how you want to go down your season? And I don't want to be too hard on Nicholas Roy. I think he's a fine player. I think he's a great player. At times, he played inside a top six role, and he was okay. When he was filling in for some of the guys that were hurt this season, he was fine. He gave them everything that Vegas could possibly dream for. But that's not how. But come on. I was at T-Mobile Arena this season, and I watched Jonathan Marchessault with a breakaway goal go roof job. That guy should be shooting. Pacioretty, he should be shooting. He's a sniper. He's a former 40-goal scorer. He should be shooting. But now here we are, the last week of the season. 3 games left for the Golden Knights, 3 games left for the Stars, or 3 back of the Stars. Those two teams will go at it this week. It's going to be everything. But if Vegas were to win that game last night, they'd be just 2 back. And then, you know, if they could take care of business against Dallas, they'd be tied with them, and they would control their own fate and their own destiny. But it does look like they're going to be bounced. And that's, to me, one of the biggest surprises of the NHL season. No Vegas Golden Knights in the playoffs. And, you know, they've went through a lot here with a lot of injuries and some adversity throughout the season. And I know Jack Eichel's going to take a lot of heat, never making the playoffs, never playing a playoff game, being with the Sabres, and then making the move to go over to Vegas and then the Golden Knights still not getting in. And I, you know, a break for Colorado, I think. It's not going to be super easy against Dallas, but the Avs don't want the Golden Knights in the first round. You saw how that worked out for them last year. There's still a glimmer of hope. I personally would like to see them in. I know that things have been so perfect for them, really, to start in the NHL in the 4 years. I've been to the third round, three of the four, and Stanley Cup Finals 1 year in their first season. You just look at the Kraken, one of the worst teams in the league. That's how things should go as an expansion squad. And things didn't go that way for Vegas. But I think the playoffs are going to be fantastic. But I would love to see the Golden Knights in the postseason with the firepower that they have. And I want to see that matchup against Colorado. We'll dive into maybe the cup odds in a little bit. Three games on the hard court. NBA playoffs continue as well. A lot of series that are tight, of course. The Utah Jazz and the Dallas Mavericks. That was a heartbreaker for the Mavs. Oh, dagger. Oh, killed me. Man, they needed that W. And then they go back home, though, with Luka with the series tied at 2. And then it could be all over for the Brooklyn Nets tonight. And I think it will be. I see people hanging out in the chat. What's up, guys? Mike Convery in the house. Jason Prince, Meany in the building. DJ Betts, let's go, Means. Which dogs do you like tonight in Major League Baseball? He has some PTP-free bets. So must be nice there, DJ Betts. So Matt Williams in here next. And we're going to take a look at some of the MLB odds. We'll try to find a dog for you there. But before we break and bring in Maddie, I want to, this is giveaway season here. It's going to be giveaway week at FTN. We won't have a show on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday here on Mean Streets. It's just not going to work out with Game Plus and, you know, a lot of esports stuff happening. But we'll have you covered. We're going to have a live NFL draft show on Thursday with myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Matt Larkey. We're going to have Jake Seeley guest spot. We're going to have Eric Young guest spot. We'll have Jill Gallant guest spot. We will have a few more other FTN faces join us. And so we'll be with you on Thursday throughout the entire draft, giving analysis. We'll be out with you on Friday as well. So make sure you're subscribed to our FTN YouTube page. You get notified right away. The show is already live. Oh, and it's not live, but you can see it in our FTN YouTube page. And my guy, George, has gone through some amazing stuff. It looks super sharp. I'm really looking forward to that. And as you see there, that was just on the screen. Want to give away a fantasy football package, which will take care of you before your draft with rankings and projections and all kinds of articles, sleepers, busts, you name it. And take care of you throughout the season with waiver wire pickups. My rankings, Jeff, the number one ranker in fantasy football, according to Fantasy Pros last season. His rankings, projections, of course, we'll have Larkey. Best ball content, dynasty content. You know, it's really football season after this draft, right? You start getting amped up into the draft. You know where some of these players are going to be. And then for me, that's when I start to do my rankings. We already have rankings live on our FTN fantasy.com website. But that's when I start to do my rankings. We'll get into some projections and whatnot. And then you saw the scouting guide there as well from Jeff Ratcliffe. It's absolutely fantastic. George has a big hand in that as well. Over 150 player profiles. And this will be updated as well after the draft from Jeff Ratcliffe with a little fantasy spin on the new environment for some of these prospects. But he rolls through all the prospects, ranks them in tiers for all the positions, and he really does dig deep. As you see there, there's a little bit of a draft board as well. So what we're asking from you today, how do you get in on this? Well, in the YouTube section of this show, if you're watching live on Game Plus Network, of course, we appreciate you. Always a great lineup. But head on over to our FTN YouTube page. Search for this video. You can find it by subscribing to our FTN YouTube page, following me at Chris Meany. I tweet out the link every single day to the show. Just your favorite pick of the day, your favorite bet of the day. We are asking for a winner, so it doesn't matter if you want to come in with a chalky pick. By all means, you certainly can. It could be an MLB prop, an NHL pick, an NBA pick, NBA prop, whatever it is. And you can enter today, tomorrow. And because I was really thinking that we would have a show on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I want to have like a couple opportunities for you guys. Maybe just give, if you get one pick right, we'll give you two entries. How about that? You get one pick right, you get two entries. So you have a couple days here to get in. And I will take those who partook last week as well into what was a giveaway. I saw some people posting some picks on the show, and I do appreciate that. Want you guys to be very included in this show. Meany's shirt is popping. I'm not going to lie. I think I hit the links early this morning. It didn't go too well, but you got to look good, right? At least you got to look good on the course, even though the shots are not flying the way they should be. So leave your favorite pick of the day, no matter what it is. FTN bets, of course, can help you out with some of the picks, but your pick, whatever it is, prop, side, total, doesn't matter the odds, leave it there in the YouTube section, and I will circle back and we'll discuss some of the winners a little bit later on in the week. Get in. get in on the opportunity to win a fantasy baseball or fantasy football package. And if you're looking for something baseball, hit me up. But we do want to give away some of the football because the content is great. And I know Jeff and George put a lot of work into that scouting guide. All right, I've rambled enough here off the top. We're going to bring in Matt Williams of The Athletic. We're going to take care of those that are playing a little fantasy baseball. We're going to scan the wire for some hitters, some pitchers, some two starts, some stashes. A couple guys on my radar that I think you should grab now before it's too late. And we'll also dive into the MLB slate. Lots to get to here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in here. Mean Streets live on Game Plus Network as we bring in Matt Williams a second time. Matty, are we good there? We got your mic.
Technology one, Matt zero.
Oh, baby, sounding beautiful. Live TV, man. Things happen all the time. We do appreciate you. Of course, as I mentioned off the top of the last segment, Matt Williams of The Athletic, also the host of Turn 2 Podcasts. Thank you for taking the time here today. I'm going to throw a few baseball names at you in a little bit, but I'm just curious. I know you're playing a lot of fantasy baseball, you know, some expert leagues, maybe some leagues with your buddies, which are a little bit casual, maybe a little bit more challenging to see which stud you want to take off the waiver wire. But before I throw some of those names at you that I put together, and just some of the top added players that I've noticed in fantasy baseball formats, who are some players that you were after maybe late last night or this morning?
Honestly, I wasn't too aggressive yesterday. I try to be get ahead a couple weeks ahead of time, so I'm nice. Usually not to put myself in a position that I have to overbid. Although I would have liked to have added this guy ahead of time, Lamont Wade on the Giants. He's coming back off the IL. I drafted Michael Conforto a couple places in weekly leagues. It's obviously time to move on from him, so I had to replace him. And Wade is the guy that I usually put in there. He's a platoon player, but The way the Giants play him, he'll be in there nearly every day as a lefty. So I like him quite a bit. Tyler Anderson, I know we're going to talk about. He was available floating around in a couple of my more shallower leagues. I made sure to pick him up in the hunt for wins early in the season where I've been struggling. A lot of people have, but that's a weekly crapshoot. But yeah, overall, not too aggressive. Like the Paul Blackburns, I had already I've already had them on my teams before. Bruce nice. Zimmerman, not exactly a believer. We'll talk about him. But yeah, overall, it wasn't too aggressive this week.
Well, this is what I'm here for. Not all that. You don't need to be picking guys up just for the sake of picking guys up. And it's nice to get ahead of the curve. Mike Convery, this is my first Mean Streets with fantasy ads available. I need this more than air to breathe. We do appreciate you. Convery is a big White Sox guy, Matt. And I think the guys are looking for dogs a little bit later on. We can talk about today's slate. I love the Wade call, right? You know, last year, I think pretty good. And, you know, the Giants lineup, I think, is, you know, underrated. Again, Vegas doesn't give them any credit. You know, they were third in the division for obviously the Dodgers are up at the top and then the Padres. But even last year, I remember when they were the best team in baseball, even offensively, they were like 25-1 to win the World Series. Nobody was giving them any credit. So way to top the order here soon. I like that call. Let's bring up the two-star board, George, and see if Matty has any interest in some of these guys. So Jordan Hicks, right? He's still getting stretched out. I noticed 27 pitches, two innings April 12th, then two innings, 35 pitches April 17th, then three innings, 46 pitches this past Thursday. So he's going to get the two starts here against the Mets in Arizona as he continues to get stretched out. Miles Mikolas, I think he's a better real-life pitcher, Matty, than a fantasy guy. Just keep the ball on the ground. I do like that second start against Arizona, maybe a couple strikeouts. Eflin's most likely owned in most formats, but I put him on the board here. Mitch Keller, never know what I'm going to get from Mitch Keller. Last start was pretty decent from him, but he's been lit up a bunch. Michael Lorenzen had a great first start, which came against the Astros. He was amped up being in Anaheim, and then a bit of a step back, but he does have two starts here. He is going tonight against Cleveland. And then Chris Paddock's on this list as well. If you were to rank these guys, I don't know how you would rank them, but really I want to get your thoughts on Jordan Hicks. Is one of the most picked up guys last week, here again this week. Could be hanging around Yahoo League sub 50%, you know, again, just more looser leagues. What do you think about him? Do you feel like he's got a high ceiling? Does he stick inside the rotation? What's your thoughts on Hicks?
I love Hicks. I had him, I picked him up early in the season, originally thinking that maybe he'd have a chance to get some saves. So they throw him right into the rotation and it's okay. I mean, he's not quite stretched out where you want to be. They're not necessarily can count on getting a win to get those five innings. But I especially with the way starters and relievers have been used. I've actually employed a strategy of getting more and more like middle relievers into my lineup, just instead of starters, to get like the Jonathan Loaizigas and the Paul Sewalds and everything, to get some innings, get strikeouts. And with a two-start week with Hicks, I think it's just kind of the same thinking. Maybe you won't get the innings you want, but he's been dominant. He's keep getting better. Mets aren't a terrific matchup. They've been one of the best offensives in baseball so far. Arizona's obviously fantastic. So I think that is the number one regardless. The rest of this list kind of terrifies me a bit. Mikolas is fine. He'll limit the damage. You know, he probably won't get torn up too bad by the Mets. Arizona is a good one. So, I mean, if you're searching for volume, that's okay. Eflin, Colorado, New York, that's actually like a no thanks for me. I know some people, especially if you're in your 15 teams, you can't really shy away from Eflin, but yeah, I would. Mitch Keller is probably the second best on this list.
Oh, no.
I mean, from a strikeout perspective, I've been betting a lot of prop bets this year, so I've been jumping on the Mitch Keller. Like, I don't care if he gets destroyed. I just need strikeouts. And I think that's what you'll get if that's something you're searching for, but that's more of something you do maybe later in the year when you like have more established ratios. Lorenzen, I actually like the Angels as an underdog this tonight. If you want to bet it, the Cleveland's offense has been really good. They have been quite lucky as well, though. BABIP north of where it should be, but then at the White Sox, that's like, so, I don't like any of these. I don't like any of these outside of Hicks. So yeah, I think this is one of those weeks where it's a traditional, you know, wisdom is like, you know, oh, it's a two-start week. You got to get him in there. No, you don't have to get him in there. Really take a strong look at your one-star pitchers this week, because most of this list you don't have to start, especially in 12-team formats. I actually wouldn't start anyone but Hicks probably on this list this week.
I think that's great advice, right? Again, I wanted to bring up some of the two starts, and I've said that before on this show as well. I mean, just because they're two starts, it doesn't mean you need to roll these guys out if they're going to ruin your ratios. And I actually loved what you said, and we're going to clip that later, George, about the middle reliever part. That's something that I have done in fantasy baseball for years and years and years. When people want to just go after the two starts, and if one of those starts it's not a good matchup, they can absolutely ruin your ratios. And just having a guy that can go out like a middle reliever who could maybe rack up 5 to 7 strikeouts in a week for you, maybe luck into a win, that's icing on the cake, that's fine. But you know, I think that's a pretty good strategy to have those type of arms. Speaking of more arms like that, let's throw up a few more that hopefully maybe some of these guys do catch your interest. There's a couple stashes on here. There's a couple of, you see the guys on the left, like Gray has been talked about on the show for a couple times, but I kind of still see him, Maddie. I know that you're playing in some high stakes leagues, and myself, like, this guy's obviously not available. But you know, again, Yahoo, ESPN, Fantrax, he certainly could be hanging around. Lodolo had a couple nice outings in a row. The strikeouts seem to be there. The first couple starts for him are pretty rocky with the command. Dylan Bundy, been down this road before with Bundy. 2 years ago with those Angels, he was pretty good. Last year was awful for him, but a couple decent outings in a row now. Paul Blackburn, you mentioned Bruce Zimmerman. I totally agree with you with Zimmerman. I'll give you the mic here in a second to share your thoughts on Zimmerman, but he did have a good start against the Halos. I believe he's in a tough spot this week against the Yankees. He did face the Yankees earlier in the year, but this one will come at Yankee Stadium. You mentioned Tyler Anderson, Michael Pineda's on this list. Some closers potentially to look at. I know you may not get a lot of saves there with some of these guys, you know, Stratton in particular. Lopez had a couple saves against the Halos over the weekend. And there's a couple pitchers on the bottom right. So Christian Javier is a guy that I drafted in a lot of spots. I like his stuff. Jake Odorizzi's, I just don't think he's that great of a pitcher, man. I think he could fall into the rotation. Michael King is another guy who's racked up a few strikeouts. And then Will Crow is a guy, I don't know if he, last year was pretty bad for him, really, when he got his starts. Maybe he's better suited for, you know, a couple innings here and there out of the pen. But I think he could eventually get inside the rotation. But I know I just threw a lot at you, but what's the most appealing arm, I guess, out of all those arms?
Well, one thing, they actually just announced this. Christian Javier actually is in the rotation. They just put him in. So good news to everyone who invested in Javier. I love that one a lot. This list is a lot more interesting to me than the two-start one. Josiah Gray. Fair. I love Josiah Gray. I was talking with someone. I want to give them credit. I cannot remember who said it. Oh, no, it was Gray Albrey over at Razzball. He thought a good comp for a Josiah Gray will be Shane McClanahan. going into next year. That's where he thinks he'll be going in drafts, where he'll be that guy going like everyone's investing in Shane, like the breakout's happening. And I think that may be where Gray is next year. And I kind of agree with that because Gray right now, he's gone 14 and a third, 18 strikeouts, still 7 walks. I mean, the walks are the issue for him. He's an amazing talent. If you watch him, you can just see it. He's a matchups guy. You can only play him in preferred matchups because the walks, and he can dominate any lineup, actually. I don't worry about the talent being able to take on even the toughest lineups, but when you put men on base and then they elevate against you, you can get destroyed really quickly. So I love Gray, you know, in deep leagues, you know, obviously he is rostered, but in shallow leagues, if you have an opportunity, I love him against especially free swinging lineups. You had Lodolo on here. I advised everyone to not play him yesterday. Sorry. it was a terrible matchup. You know, talent wins out a lot. He gets better every time out, though. Longer innings every time out, less walks every time out. So you got to like that. Unfortunately, the team is not giving him a ton of run support. Dylan Bundy. I don't know.
Proceed with caution. Let's be honest.
I mean, it's all his slider. It always is. He's basically, it's a ton of ground balls and he has a large chase rate and that'll equal success. Will that go over for the full season? Probably not. I mean, he's riding well now, I guess. Ride it until you can. He's, if someone wants to buy high, and you know, buy high, I mean, buy it all high, buy even, I'd probably move him. Love Blackburn, Paul Blackburn, love him. He's throwing the curve a ton. One of the things like the Reds always do, like if you have a bad pitch, throw it less. If you have a good pitch, throw it more. They did it with Sonny Gray. They do it with everyone. He's throwing the curve 12.5%. He bumped up to 21.4% this year. He had success last season with it. He's just throwing it more. I like it. He's throwing his cutter less, but he's actually having more success because I think the pitch mix is a little better and he mixes in there. It's great. Bruce Zimmerman, we already talked about. We don't have to talk about him much, but everyone's really jumping on him. He has a more even split between his four seam and his changeup this year, which is working. He has like an over 40% whiff rate on his changeup, but he's given up a ton of line drives, ton of hard contact, bail rate above 10%, in zone contact rate nearly 90%. No, that is a terrible combination. And then just to wrap it up, Tyler Anderson, I like him. He's a weak contact guy, over 54% ground ball rate, high chase rate, high contact, weak contact, early success with the changeup. He pitches for the Dodgers. If you need wins, he's a nice cheap guy to throw in there. And it's never really a bad matchup with the Dodgers because you always have a shot at a win, even if he blows up. And then Jorge Lopez, just to hit one of the closers there. He's throwing like 98 miles per hour, like the hardest of his career. So he's probably been picked up everywhere, but if you're looking for saves, you can do a lot worse than Lopez because he's pitching kind of the best he ever has been.
Yeah, I agree. I was really impressed with him over the weekend. Those that are watching the show know I follow the Halos pretty closely. I mean, yeah, he came in and he was throwing heat, man. I'm seeing Yahoo, his ownership jumped up 17% over the last day. So even in Yahoo leagues, he's hanging around 47%. You know, he's got Baltimore, you know, next to his name. So some people may not have even bothered to take a shot on him, but he's got saves in three of the last four games for Baltimore. They're not going to win a ton of games. I think that they're a little bit better than some people give them credit for. They're playing in a really tough division. So far, the pitching has been good. I don't know if I believe in the starting pitching. Clearly, the bullpen has been the issue for the O's for years. Last year, gave up most home runs out of the pen and the highest ERA and kind of off to the same sort of start. Zimmerman, anytime the guys are flirting with like an 80% contact rate, that's red flags for me. I noticed of the change
unless,
in the pitch.
Unless you got like a 60% ground ball rate, right?
Yeah, you have to at least have that, especially when you play, you know, half your games at Camden or inside the AL East. I agree. I think a bit of a trap.
I'll say this about Lopez or even Jimenez on Oakland, who you mentioned there. Trevino's been out. I mean, Jimenez has pitched well enough to keep it. This can go Joe Barlow in Texas. I call this the Chad Cordero rule. You don't have to be on a good team to get a lot of saves. I call it the Chad Cordero rule because when they just moved from Montreal to Washington, Chad Cordero, I believe, led the league in saves. They were like one of the worst teams in baseball. If you're going to win games, you're going to win a lot of your games by like, you know, a slim margin, saves opportunities. So don't shy away from the closers on the bad teams as long as the skills are okay. Like, I'd rather have a good closer on a bad team than a middling closer on like a decent team sometimes because, you know, I did shy away, folks.
No, you're right. It's good advice. Yeah, because, like I said, people may just shy away because he's Baltimore and he wasn't drafted really in a lot of the, you know, your standard 10 or 12 team leagues. Chad Cordero dropped. Nice, man. I met that guy back in the day. I mean, I've been to the Big O several times. So saw a few really good players with Montreal, and they just went to, I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but I saw several good players in Montreal where, you know, they just got shipped off as they trade them all over the place. It's like, you know, they really had some really good players on those Expos teams. So there was another closer that I was going to throw at you, Pagan. I noticed a couple saves as well. Could be some muddy situations, but the thing with Trevino, they could trade him, right? When he comes back, they've traded everybody else in Oakland. And if this kid is rolling, get some saves, I mean, this could be his job.
Absolutely. Trade Trevino and then maybe trade him Menes later. But he's young, so you can keep him, you build up his value, trade him later in life. But Oakland, no, I mean, they're doing everything they can to upset and make everyone as uncomfortable as possible. And then they win anyway. I mean, win more than we thought they would. I would expect them to, try to cash in on Trevino. So, Jimenez looks like he could be solid.
What do you think about Michael King before we break and we talk some hitters and maybe tonight's slate? So over the weekend against Cleveland, 3 innings, 8K. He's got 10 and two thirds here, 18 strikeouts, a 0.84 ERA, 1.03 whip. An injury would potentially have to happen, right, to maybe Cole or Severino. One of these guys would have to, you know, maybe spend some time on the IL to get him inside the rotation. Do you think that this is one of those long relievers or that you could pick up instead of these two starts that you could just roll out for the week?
Yeah, he's confused. I'm a statistics guy. I haven't actually had much eyes on him, which he's a guy that he's actually on my list of people I want to take a look at in video. Because if you look at his statistics, you see a 69% contact rate in zone, which is fantastic. He has an 18% swinging strike rate. Those kind of marry together. If you're not making in zone contact, it's because you're probably swinging and missing at the pitches. To go with that, though, he has a large, he has a pretty nice chase rate around like 37, 38%. He's not getting barreled at 4.9. Before this in his career, he's closer to the 10% mark. The thing that worries me there is he's currently giving up nearly 50% line drives. I want to see how he's doing this. I mean, if it's not weak contact, 50% line drive rate, obviously that's not very sticky. It takes a long, literally one season of at bats is not even a good enough sample size for a line drive rate. But I want to see a little more from Michael King. But yeah, right now he's on a roll. He's striking out everybody. And like I said, low contact swinging strikes. I mean, he's obviously fooling hitters. That's just a little bit of a weird thing for me to see, is that high line drive rate. But yeah, right now he looks really good.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll treat it as a small sample size for sure. And one thing that you do, you do a lot of great things, Matt. Check out The Athletic in your podcast. One thing I really love, and I've heard you, I'm sure you've gotten a lot of feedback with this, was your threads on Twitter when you really break into a player with, you know, you got some video there and you really dive in. You said you're a numbers guy, and you absolutely are. And I think a lot of us that watch this show, I say us, but a lot of people that watch this show, I think they do appreciate, you know, diving into some of those numbers. We do have a question here from Mike Convery. It's a quick one about Lauer last night. So 13 punchouts that he had after last night against the Phillies. He says, as a SP5 potentially or just a diamond in the rough kind of night, the whip is intriguing as hell to him. Not even the Ks. He won't break 10 again this year. So far through three starts, he had the first one against Baltimore. He got roughed up 4 1/3. He did have the start against Pittsburgh, which was obviously it's going to be a dream matchup for most pitchers when they have to face the Pirates, even at home in Milwaukee. He picked up W there. He had six innings and he had 5 strikeouts. And then last night, 6 scoreless. And then he had the 13 Ks. Is this just, you know, a good outing? Is like a major leaguer? Or is you thinking you're not rushing to the waiver wire to grab him? His next start is against the Cubbies.
All right, there's two things. I like Eric Lauer a lot. This is not going to happen again. 13 Ks. I mean, last year I think he had 9 was his high, which he can turn in these decent outings. The 13 is obviously an anomaly. Anyone who owns him, the inclination might be to sell high, and I don't think that's the way to go. Not that I think that he's going to continue down this road. It's like, who in their right mind is going to pay for the 13 strikeout Eric Lauer, though? I feel like you'll sell him and be disappointed. I think that he is what he is. It was nice to get this, but I think he can hang with these big lineups, and I think he's a very sneaky guy that you can throw in even in 12-team leagues against decent opponents. You know, he's a guy you want to probably sit against the best of the best sometimes, but I think he's worth more to you than he would be in trades. So yeah, I think that he shouldn't have been on waiver wires. I think he proved enough last year. He was a sleeper on enough lists that he is good. He is more of a, you know, not, I mean, he's more of a, like, one, you know, a K, you know, a 9K per nine guy. I think the last couple of years is 987 K per nine, 887. I think that's more in line with what he is. He's 12.67 thanks to a 13 strikeout game. But there's not much actionable here. It's more like, be excited if you have him. If he was available yesterday, you probably had to overpay to acquire him. If you have him, you can't trade him. It's like, yay, there's nothing you can do. There's like no actionable information here, in my opinion.
Yeah, Mike says he's in a 10-team league, so that's probably why he's hanging around the waiver wire there, just 37% ownership in Yahoo. Like I said, his next start's against the Cubbies. They just put up like a football score against the Pirates the other day, 21 spot. Wow. Maddie, we'll break. Hang on, dude, for maybe one more segment. I'm going to throw some hitters at you, and then we'll take a look at the MLB slate tonight. So more baseball talk here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Watching Mean Streets live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meaney and Matt Williams of The Athletic here with you. Going to continue to talk some fantasy baseball. Going to throw some hitters. You know, when you mention Shane McClanahan, every time you do, it puts a big smile on my face. Yesterday, even against the Red Sox, they're hanging a 5.5K prop for this guy. I'm going to take that every single time, no matter the opponent. I absolutely love his stuff. We do have a Cy Young future on this show. Hopefully we can get it. It's a little weird. You mentioned earlier talking about not getting a lot of W's. You have to kind of change your philosophy when it comes to fantasy baseball these days, right? When I know it's still early on, the shortened spring. These guys are not fully stretched out. And we certainly saw that with Clayton Kershaw's first start. But, man, what's the new five innings? Seven? And the new seven is nine? Not getting guys go deep into ballgames anymore, are you?
Hey, we talked about it earlier. We agreed on the middle reliever strategy, and that actually has a lot to do with it. When you put out in like draft and holds. I'm like just piling up the Loaizigas, the Brent Suters, the Seth Lugos. They go several innings per week, and they will actually vulture quite a few wins, especially early in the season. So that's another reason too. Wins are just, look at last year. Look at the Yankees. Look at Chad Green, and everyone not aware of this. Look at Chad Green. Look at Loaizaga. I mean, these guys are like near double digit wins. It's something to look at. So yeah, saves and wins. It's like, man, MLB, just get rid of the stats entirely. They're both terrible.
I do agree with that. I have a hard time drafting closers early. I've always had a hard time doing that, and sometimes it does bite me a little bit. I try to get a top 10 closer, a top 5 if I can, and then I just kind of play the waiver wire game, and you can luck into it, and then other times you get really behind the eight ball there. I'm going to throw a couple hitters at you.
You almost want to get one closer just for like peace of mind or a lack of annoyance, just so you don't have to work the waiver wire. Like you got one, and then all right, I can work the waiver wire, but at least I don't have to be desperate for everyone who comes along.
I got a lot of Presley. Can we get him back in the lineup here, please? It's killing me. I'm going to throw a couple hitters at you. Some of them, like Jeremy Pena, this is, I think, the fourth straight week now we've talked about this guy. He's still hanging around waiver wires. I just think he's a heck of a ball player, Maddie. I mean, he had the walk-off homer last night against the Jays, shortstop eligibility with no Jose Altuve. He has been leading off here and there. J.P. Crawford is probably owned in most competitive leagues. He's off to a pretty good start. Seattle atop the AL West. I love Alec here. I love the quote from him a couple weeks ago that he hates this city. I think on this show we're having some fun. The prospect is not Stott, right? Yeah, we were just wondering if it was going to be Stott's time. Bryson, if he was going to be able to get in there, but Alex had a great weekend. Sheldon Neuse is another guy. Oakland just seems to find these guys. You know, he's hitting near the top of the lineup. Isaiah Conner-Falefa had a pretty good weekend in there. Brennan Marsh, won't get in every day against lefties, but he's got a little bit of speed. He's had a home run over the weekend. Another Angel in there. Man, Madden does some weird things with his lineup, but he's been putting Ward in there in like the five spot. And his opportunity maybe to drive in some runs. Josh Naylor. I don't feel like there's a lot of appealing names here on this list, Matt, but if there is one or two that you wanted to touch on, by all means. But these have been, at least today and late last night, some of the guys that I've noticed have been picked up the most.
I know Joe Maddon does weird stuff, but the list of things that he's done this year, it looks like someone trying to get fired. It's not working for him. They're still doing well.
What about the play where he just literally walked Corey Seager?
Yeah.
He just straight up walked Corey Seager with the bases loaded.
Yeah,
they said in that broadcast that it was the first time since 1885 or something silly that they had, that a manager had done that while losing a game. They were losing at the time. Now they ended up winning that game, but I mean, yeah,
Madden. Did you see Mike Trout's look, like face in the outfield when they did it?
Yeah, it broke my heart to see him that upset. Like, don't upset the guy. It kills me. But yeah.
But I mean, starting with the Angels we talked about, I Ward, he's fine. I don't get in the beginning of the year when Madden said, oh, he's going to play every day. Why? He's fine. I liked him as a sleeper. But like, it's almost like I turned on him. Like, all right, as a Ward, per someone who drafted him, you want to hear that. But then you hear Madden explain he's going to play every day. You're like, why? They got rid of Upton so that Ward could play. I mean, Adele still is one. I mean, he hasn't played half the games. He's still one home run shy of the team lead. Brandon Marsh, who's on this list, looks amazing. Uses the whole field. He struck down. His chase rate is down to 19%, which is, you know, for a rookie coming off last year, unbelievable improvement. So improvement across the board. Brandon Marsh looks great. He is someone I'd be interested in actually buying, because I think his role will grow and he'll be solid for the rest of the year. Don't anyone hate me, especially because you said you bring him up on the show. I love Jeremy Peña, but this is just conventional wisdom I'm about to bring. He is a rookie. Mm-hmm. He is elevating the ball more than ever in his entire life. 44.7% fly ball rate, 17.6 home run for fly ball. He's chasing the ball a lot, as rookies do. In 90% in zone contact rate, basically, almost. He's like 89.5, and that's great. I feel like he could be a sell high. And what I mean is sell high. Don't sell high. Rookie with a lot of juice, it's always worth looking into. It's something I always tell people, especially in fantasy baseball. We don't dislike any player. Everyone's available in trade. Everyone's a sell high if someone's willing to give you more than you think they're worth. I'd shop Jeremy Peña. I wouldn't give him away. I think he's great. He's getting, you know, he's been hitting towards the top of the lineup, although Altuve's been out. It's going to be a good lineup. He's going to score runs, and I think he's going to be very solid. But there's a chance that someone else just thinks a little too highly of him. I think he'll probably struggle like most rookies do. It just happens. He's more of a glove first guy. He was never going to be a juggernaut in fantasy. So I think there's a cap to what I think he could be, but you never know. Some people come to the majors and there's a next level in there, and he could be one of those guys too. So I would just shop him. Not telling anyone to give him away. You know, rookies with juice, you can get something for a lot. JP Crawford. There's not a lot here that's surprising. I mean, low barrel rate, high contact, that's kind of what he is. Low chase rate. You know, I would like him to steal more bases than he does. Yeah. And, you know, but he's playing in deep leagues, he's good for you. In shallow formats, I think he can probably do better. I think in shallow formats, you're not necessarily looking for floor plays too much, but there's been a lot of injuries. So yeah, he's certainly someone you plug in there I could be happy about. Alec Bohm, I gotta be honest, I didn't think much of him coming into this year.
Me neither.
Oh God. I mean, he even in his minor leagues, it didn't look like there was going to be a ton of power there. He looked like he might've been, at least in the beginning, even though he's this big dude, he looked like he was going to be more of like a line drives guy. Brutal start to the season. You already brought up, you know, I hate this place.
Few errors. Yeah.
Heated way up. He's at the top of the league in exit velocity. Not that average exit velocity is a useful statistic, because we care about where you're hitting the ball now, how hard you, if you're hitting the ball directly into the ground, what do we care? The batted ball profile for him is actually identical to last year. He sucked last year. Like batted, like line drives, home runs, everything the same. He's actually got a worse contact rate now than he did last year. He's just finding the barrel more. So again, I wouldn't get too carried away. I think he's another sell high, to be honest. I think more of a sell high definitely than Peña. So right now, if anyone's super excited about Bohm, he's good, but there's some people that really believed in him last year. And if they see this, they might be like, oh, what's he doing now? I would sell high here because he is going to be better than he's shown, I think, but he's not this good. And I think there's a lot of flaws. There's kind of a trap door under the treasure. You know what I mean? So I think that I would definitely look to move Alec Bohm, especially in a, you know, third base situation. I know it's hard to give away a third baseman that's being productive, but again, we're talking sell high, not sell. You know, maybe someone is interested here. And I would at least go investigate here. And the last one I'll talk about, Sheldon Nwaese. By saying his name right?
I think you are. I thought it was Noose, but I think you're right. New AC, I think, is correct. Yeah.
He kind of said it. The A's just fine people. Nearly 60% ground ball rate, less than 3% barrel rate. Like, meh. you fill him in there while he's working. He's playing every day. At bats are at bats. Value is volume. So put him in there. The second he cools off, jettison. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, high contact, stealing bases. He's playing. He's playable. He's giving you kind of what you're hoping he would. But again, if he cools off, you know, shallow leagues, jettison. And then Josh Naylor. He's weird. I like him. I'm glad he came back from that gruesome injury. Early results are wonky, though. He's hitting the ball hard, but he only has a 13.6% fly ball rate. That's really low, everybody. 60% ground ball rate, 429 BABIP. So there's actually, like or dislike Naylor, your thoughts on him shouldn't have changed from opening day. He's here. Erase everything he's done to this point, because the statistics we've seen so far are like literally like uncomputable, making up words, incalculable. Josh Naylor's fine. They need an outfielder. He'll be in there. He is someone that
I think he's just okay. I think he's just okay.
I like him as a late round guy. I think that there could be something there. Yeah, keep him rostered. There's nothing exciting. If someone thinks that for some reason there's a breakout coming here, ship him off.
He definitely is going to get an opportunity there for sure, you know, in Cleveland. I'd love the call about Pena, right? Everybody loves a prospect, a sexy prospect, especially if they're off to a really good start. So I think you said it perfectly. Make everybody in your league absolutely available. You never know. Somebody likes somebody more than you do, and you can get a decent return. Maddie, unfortunately, we got to get out of here, dude. We're just running a little bit late on time. I know you did say you liked the Halos today against Shane Bieber. Check out Matt Williams on Twitter. The L's in the sevens instead of the L's. Check out all of his great work over at the Athletic. Also, the host of Turn to a Podcast. He's been killing it with some picks. So check him out on Twitter. Great baseball follow. And that was awesome. You just ran through all the players. I mean, we'd touch on one or two, but you had insight on all of them. So I really do appreciate your time. We'll say goodbye to Maddie. We got some NHL and some NBA stuff here to wrap up Mean Streets. Keep her locked.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back in. Only one game on the ice today. As we said off the top of the show, it's the Chicago Blackhawks, and we have the Philadelphia Flyers. A must-watch game here tonight, actually at 8 Eastern. Could see some offense. I do have a lean to the over. I do like Chicago on home ice here, but I like some of these props here. You know, we'll start with Kevin Hayes. Kevin Hayes has been a guy that we've been hammering here, 2.5 shots for quite some time. He's cleared 2.5 in 9 of his past 12. And in 8 of those 9 that he's cleared, he's had at least 4 shots. So we're getting 2.5 here at -115. Ivan Provorov is a guy that's at +125 here for 2.5 shots. So we're getting a little bit of value on this number. He has 14 shots on goal in his last 3 games, 3 shots, 5 and 6. What I really like about Provorov is the ice time that he's had. He's played at least 25 minutes in 6 straight games. He's flirted with 26, 26 and a half, up near 27. So he's logging a lot of ice time. He's playing on the power play. And clearly this isn't a guy who's afraid to shoot the puck. I was trying to think outside the box. Now, I think Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat, these guys will have points. I think Kane could potentially have a 2-point night. I think DeBrincat could find the back of the net. I was considering giving 3.5 shots at plus money, but he's been stuck at 3 for quite some time. Both of these teams are inside the top 10 in allowing shot attempts and shots on goal at 5-5 per 60. And over the last 4 weeks, they're inside the top 10 in allowing high danger chances. So we should see some offense in this game. Ever since Tyler Johnson's been back in the lineup, he's been pretty good. This is +375 for him to hit the back of the net here tonight. He's got 2 goals over his last 4 games, and he's got 3 points over his last 4. He may be plus money for a point. I couldn't find him. I could only find Taves, so I went with the goal for Tyler Johnson. Hopefully it's assisted by his centerman, Jonathan Taves. A rough year, but 4 points in his last 4 games and 6 points over his last 8 games. And just the spot here tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers is absolutely fantastic. So that's what I'm thinking from a hockey standpoint. Tomorrow, Dangle Bettselli will be live at our FTN YouTube page. Eric Young and I will roll through every single game, have a few more hockey plays for you. One more segment here to wrap up Mean Streets. We'll take a look at the NBA playoff schedule. Don't go anywhere. All right, we got about 45 seconds left in the show. My apologies for the rushing here towards the end, but 3 games on the hardcore NBA playoffs. I'm just going to really focus in on the Mavericks from a same game parlay standpoint. I do believe the Mavs cover this spread, but I'm willing to take them on the money line. I like Luka Doncic over 3.5 threes. He did it 4 in his first game back from an injury with a calf injury. He jacked up 10 shots from beyond the arc. So that's what I like. He's going to do that maybe I see in his future tonight, like 7 or 8 shots from beyond beyond the arc. I think he could hit maybe half of them. I like Donovan Mitchell over 27.5 points. Donovan Mitchell has been an absolute beast. His last game, he only had 23 points, but it was an off shooting night for him. 7-for-21 from the floor, 2-for-10 from beyond the arc. His first game, 32, followed by 34, followed by 32, and then 23. Last game, the outlier. I do believe the over 27.5 is the play here. And then I do like over 1.5 threes for Jalen Brunson. So for Jalen Brunson, with him being back in the lineup, fewer shots, of course, with Luka rather being back in the lineup, but 7-for-18 from the floor. And he did have 2 threes, 2-for-5 from beyond the arc in that game 4 in Utah. So this game in Dallas, plus money for just 2 threes for Jalen Brunson. I do believe it's all over for the Raptors tonight. I do think they will cover, but I think Philadelphia wins the home court there, and I think the Mavs take care of business, and it's also all over for the Brooklyn Nets. See you later. We're back on Tuesday.